Today on Real Life Radio.
Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. So I want to be rich. Here's the answer. Godliness, follow Jesus with contentment. Be satisfied with what you have. That's great wealth. You'll love it.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey everybody, we want to introduce you to what we're calling our summer bundle. It's two great books, and you're going to want to get them for the little ones in your life. The first book is called Prayers and Promises for Kids. It's a great resource to not only teach your children about the promises of God, but how do we take those promises and pray them into our lives? You're going to find this a great resource to develop a prayer life with your child. And then the book, The Redcoats Are Coming, written by our own Nancy Sanders, who attends our church. It is a great, great book. It is featured by Adventures in Odyssey and the wonderful people at Focus on the Family, Prayers and Promises for Kids, and The Redcoats Are Coming. They're two children's books that are very powerful. Get a copy of both these books as we bundle them for the month of July.
That's The Redcoats Are Coming and Prayers and Promises for Kids. A couple of great books. Available as a bundle for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Parables of Jesus with his message titled Parable of the Rich Fool, Part 2. Whenever Jesus spoke to the crowds, he often spoke using relatable stories with common everyday themes the Bible calls parables. And in this parable, Jesus is teaching us about keeping God in our plans. You see, we learned in Part 1 to have a God-centered life, keeping in mind the origin of God and all His blessing for provision, His design for our lives, and His goodness. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that riches, they're not foolish, nor are they evil in themselves. It's the human heart that takes the blessings of God and condemns the very thing that God would like us to use for His glory. Now, with his message called Parable of the Rich Fool, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I have to tell you, I'm very pleased what God has done in my life for this reason. My mom wanted me to be an attorney, and that was a big deal. But I wanted to be an airline pilot, and so she didn't get what she wanted. I didn't get what I wanted. But this I knew all along the way from being little. I wanted to be rich. I wanted to be a rich lawyer or a rich airline pilot. And you know what's cool? I didn't become an attorney and I didn't become a pilot, airline pilot. Instead, God interrupted my life, which at the moment, if he would have said, can I do this? What do you think I would have said to him? No way. He interrupted my life and wound up calling me to do something that I never would have picked or even desired, this. And you know what? The older I get, the riches that God is doing in my life, someday I'm going to get so rich someday that when I leave here, I mean, think every day I get to walk with Jesus, I get richer. And then I'm going to be so rich that the Lord's going to say, it's time to come home, Jack. Come on. And I'm going to enter into the glory of the Lord. But listen, whatever money I have, that stays behind. It doesn't get to come with me. But through Jesus, I get to live my life right now in whatever opportunities or resources I have. I get to send those up ahead before I arrive. By using whatever we can for Him, I'm going to arrive someday at those eternal treasures that He has concluded for me, and the same He's doing for you. We're still in Proverbs, though. acknowledging him, and he shall direct your paths. Guaranteed. Foolproof. Foolproof. By the way, if you're counting, number one was trust. Number two, lean not. Number three, acknowledge. Number four is found in verse seven. Do not be wise in your own eyes, like this guy was. What am I going to do? I got to build bigger barns. Ah, I've got so much. Now, look, don't anybody let this get out publicly, because I don't mean it to be mean. But you know who I thought of? And he may be a great guy. I don't know him. Don't want to know him. But you know who's got buildings of cars? Yeah, you knew it. Jay Leno. I'm sure he's a great guy. I don't know. I'm assuming. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. He's got buildings with vintage, remarkable cars. And sometimes it depends on the weather. He'll drive a certain car, and depends, he flips a coin. Sometimes he feels like a, 1922 Porsche. Sometimes he feels like a 71, Mustang. And he'll just drive around Burbank, whatever he wants to. And that's fine. You make $40 million a year, you can do that stuff. That's fine. The thing is, I hope, because he's a nice guy. I'm hoping that he's paying that kind of attention. Imagine, how cool would it be? It's like, oh man, Jay Leno, he makes all that money, he's got all those cars. It's too bad he wasn't rich toward God. What if Jay Leno's up in heaven and says, oh man, those cars were nothing. Those were, that's just like this. I invested all the rest of this in the kingdom of God. What if that happened? That'd be cool. But what you want to be very, very careful about is not to be wise in your own eyes, thinking, well, this is it. Now we've arrived. Number five is fear the Lord. Be in awe of God. Not in awe of you. I'm so in awe of me. Now, nobody would ever say that. I don't think. I hope not. But we've known people like that. They didn't have to say it. Right? So the Bible says, be in awe of God. Wow. Number six, here it is, right? Depart from evil. Really? Can't I be a Christian and live like I used to live? How about, can I be a Christian and kind of devolve and kind of let some of the world into my life? And can I? No. Think of that. Well, there was a time when I used to walk the straight and narrow with God, but then I became wise in my own opinion. And I decided to let a little bit of evil back into my life because I could handle it. It's like that guy in Florida that had that little snake. Did you read about that guy? He had a little snake, just right out of the egg. I mean, it looked like a worm. There's worms bigger than that snake. And it grew up, it got bigger. And you get used to it. It's cute. How you think a snake is cute? You're nuts, but look, it didn't go good with Adam and Eve and a snake. That should be a lesson right there. So this guy in Florida, the snake gets bigger and bigger, and it turns out that it's a cobra. But it's kind of hard to part with such a... I used to remember they had a little bottle. I don't know how you... I'm just making that up, but he loved the snake. Now, it's amazing. Talk about, two not being in the same agreement together. He loved the snake. Can you imagine snake? Do you love him? I'm working on that. Later, the guy came home from work one day, the cobra went after him, struck him down. He laid on the kitchen floor. He was able to call 911, but he went completely paralyzed. He could hear everything, but he could not move one bit of his body. And The guy was completely disabled. He was conscious and aware of everything, but he couldn't blink his eyes. He could hardly breathe. He almost suffocated. He wound up living, and that's how we know the story. It went into print, but it was such a cute little thing. And I brought it in my house. And it was, you should have seen it when it would try to go down the hallway. Isn't that amazing? Think about it. You say, well, that's ridiculous. Some people are like this with sin. Just a little thing. Just a widow sin. Who's it gonna hurt? And it bit him. Listen to verse 8. It says, it will be health to your flesh. Isn't that good? Health to your flesh. Obey God. Imagine that. Your heart rate might go down. You can throw away Melanta and you can grow some fingernails. And strength to your bones. Think of that. My doctor tells me, he told me that he thinks over 60, 70% of the patients that he sees, they're stress-related illnesses. Think of it. Maybe you're a doctor in here tonight and you go, man, that's true. I mean, think about it. People worry themselves sick. They get sick. They can't process food right. It's just destroying you. Hey, listen, the Bible says trust in the Lord. So here's another question. Do you think that his process and his decision-making felt right to him? Absolutely. Absolutely it did. Second thing is, listen, God was not in his plans. He was self-sufficient in his own right. Self-sufficient. I will pull down my barns and build greater. I'm going to have to get a bigger house. I got to get 10-car garage. I got to get all these storage units. I've got so much stuff. Or it may be not any of that stuff. It may just be, we got to get more banks to store our money. And again, I'm not knocking any of that. Unless we hoard it to ourselves, it becomes a curse. Self-sufficient in his own right.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
The third thing in verse 18 is this. We'll get the third point next week together, but look at verse 18. He was self-insured in his own security. He says, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. Listen, the Bible says in Exodus 20, verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. Think about that. Well, why not? I heard somebody tell me quite a few years ago, but I've never forgotten it. All you Christians, thou shalt not. You guys don't get to do anything. That's what the guy told me. Wow. Think of that. So in my notes, I wrote down here, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. And I remember that man. So I wrote down, why not? The simple answer is because it doesn't belong to you, stupid. It's not your house. By the way, some of you who are in college right now, I'm gonna freak you out because you're not getting taught this in school. I know this. Exodus 20, verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. That's an argument for private ownership. Did you know God's into private ownership? People today, 30 years of age and under, they don't get that. No, communal, communism, socialism. Hasn't the world tried that enough? Did you know God's into private ownership? So you shouldn't covet your neighbor's house because it's not yours. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Why not? Because she's not yours. Oh man, it's so narrow. This path is so narrow. This Christian path. Unbelievable. Nor shall you covet your neighbor's male servant. Well, why not? Because he doesn't work for you. Think of that. Well, so we don't have servant. Okay, employees. Think of that. Don't covet your competition's employees. Nor his female servant, nor his ox, or his truck. That would be his truck. His truck or his donkey. That would be his like, you know, F-150, smaller. Nor anything that is your neighbor's. Well, why not? Because now you've crossed the line and you have a problem with idolatry. You want everybody's stuff. And then we have to end here because we're out of time. It's 1 Timothy 6. This is amazing. Turn there. Turn to 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, and we'll go down to verse 10 and we'll have to stop. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. So I want to be rich. Here's the answer. Godliness, follow Jesus with contentment. Be satisfied with what you have. That's great wealth. You'll love it. You'll love it. Whatever God gives you as you follow him, you will love it in the right sense. You'll be so happy. You say, man, you know what? Have you ever seen people that have this little, they got this little thing, whatever it is, opposed to if you're successful, it's big. If it's a big, big, big mansion on a hill, and this guy's got a little, little box of a house in the valley, the guy up on the hill's not happy. And the guy in the little valley with the little house, he's so happy. How is that? Have you ever seen that? How is it? God-centeredness. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Is that cool? Is that not perfectly true? Wow. There was a guy in Forest Lawn or Rose Hills, I forget where, a long time ago. You can look it up online. They have pictures of it. The guy was buried in his Ferrari. I think he had to buy six plots of graves for his Ferrari to go inside. And there was a very famous actress, I forget her name, back in the like 20s. She was buried in a Rolls Royce or something in L.A. All these people live in L.A. Listen, where are you going to drive that? Where are you going to drive the Ferrari around? It's Ferrari red. It'll go great in hell, but you can't drive it. It's red, red. You can't drive it there. You can't do that. You can't drive it around heaven either. There's no smog there. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into, next slide, temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Destruction is destruction. Perdition is you slip away spiritually. Verse 10, for the love of money, not riches, the love of riches, is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some, having strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. This is amazing as we end, because we just read verse 7. It says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we'll carry nothing out. It wasn't long when Paul the Apostle authored 1 Timothy by the Holy Spirit. He's Jewish, remember. Of course, God is Jewish, if you think about it. Or God, think about that. Jesus came as a Jew. Egypt is always in the Jewish mind. Are you with me? And who commanded Egypt? Pharaoh. And when Pharaoh died, what did they do? They buried him with furniture, big baskets of corn and peas, seeds, wheat, everything. He's got all that stuff. Sometimes they would put his horse with him. They would kill his horse. Oh, that's nothing. Are you kidding? Listen, sometimes, and this is still done in some cultures, when the Pharaoh died, they had his wife killed because he was going to need her in the next world. There's some religions that still practice that today in some areas. When the guy dies, the wife dies. And they bury her with him. Yikes. But why? Because he's going to need her in the next world. Pharaoh's going to need his horse. I'm serious. These are smart people. They built the pyramids. Hello? Oh, he's going to need some seeds. Like the Pharaoh knows how to plant seeds. Think of it. Do you see how crazy this is? Oh, it's for the next, it's for the world to come. No wonder, Paul says, it is certain that no one's going to carry any of this stuff out alive. Father, neither are we. Lord, we confess tonight. Lord, tonight we come and we ask of you, Jesus, to search our hearts and to cleanse us from any idolatry. And Father, the sooner we learn this, as soon as, Lord, the next generation of believers understands this, that it's not poverty that exalts a man, it's not riches that exalts a man, it's the wisdom given by God that exalts a man in this world for true, lasting meaning. It's how we manage what you've given us. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray and we ask that whatever we have tonight, if it's a credit card, if it's a $5 bill, if it's the shirt off our back, that we would use what you've given us to honor you. Lord, thank you that you're so practical and you're so meaningful and that your word is so applicable. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. We talk about all these things. The true riches is that you've declared us righteous the moment we trust in you and what you've done at the cross. You died there for us. You rose again from the grave to set us free from our sin and from the power of the grave. You declared us righteous. And it's not just you declared us righteous. You declared us with your righteousness. You called us friends, children, and we'll be with you forever if we trust you tonight. And so, Lord, for all of us, may we decide now to trust in the living God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message titled Parable of the Rich Fool, Part 2. You know, by the way, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Parables of Jesus, a series that highlights the teachings of Jesus while he was ministering here on this earth. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
Pastor Jack, Sandy writes in and says that she wants to thank you for your bold teaching of the word. It helps her to renew daily. She says, we need you in New York. It's so sad that the South has so many ministers and the Northeast is a wasteland spiritually. And we're going to keep you and yours in our prayers. That comes from your sister in Christ, Sandy. Now, I got to attest to that. You've been to the Northeast.
Yeah.
It's amazing how it really is at times, it feels like a spiritual wasteland, whereas you go down into the Southeast, it's like churches on every block.
Yeah, it's very true. I've experienced it myself. Here's the good news. In this age of modern technology, you can now equal that all out. You can level that all out through the media that there is Facebook or Instagram or streaming or teaching channels, YouTube. It doesn't matter now. Actually, if you're on the moon and you've got a link, you could actually hear a Bible study. But I do know what she means, Davey. There is a drought in the Northeast. That is something that it's visible and you can feel it. That said, aren't we grateful to the Lord that he's allowed technology to fill that gap in that void? So, Sandy, stay at it. And what you could do is share others
the link that you listen to us on and invite them to join you, as it were, online. But we're just grateful, Sandy, for your love and for your support.
So this just hopped into my head. Do you remember the astronauts that were stranded in space on the space station?
Oh, yeah.
The man, there was a man and a woman, he went to church every Sunday, he said. You remember that?
Yes, that was just recently.
Yeah, so you really can be anywhere and go to church.
That's very good, Davey. I wish I would have thought of that.
It's good.
Hey, you know, if you'd like to drop a note of encouragement to Pastor Jack, that'd be awesome. He'd really love to see what you have to say about him and how his ministry's affected your life. So please do that. Go to the Connect tab at jackhibbs.com. That's the tab labeled Connect at jackhibbs.com.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.